Hello. So, do we want to wait a couple more minutes for one more voting member, or do we just want to jump into those status reports?
I say we can get started if that's all right with staff.
Yes.
All right, cool. Thank you everyone for coming today. We'll jump back to the action items once we reach a quorum, but in the interest of time, let's start off with status reports at agenda item number 3, 2050 MTP website updates.
Hi everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Anna Brunmichael-McCorr. I'm Core MPO staff member. So the Core MPO finalized the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan Moving Forward Together visual executive summary, and we created a story map of the financial plan projects with an interactive project map. This visual executive summary will be translated into our LEP, our Limited English Proficiency Languages. These are both available on our website, and we can also have the link to the story map directly here. So, Aisha, can you click on the website link for me, please? Great. Okay, so here's the story map. This is just a quick overview of the public participation engagement and financial plan. And then can you skip down? Can you hit that tab where it says financial plan project map? Great. So here is the map where you can see these projects pop up. And if you click one of them, you should see a little box that pops up. Great. And under hyperlink, if you click PDF, great, it'll bring you to that project page so you can learn more about it. And so feel free to look at that. And then, Asia, can you go back to the status report for me? Perfect. Can you click on the Core MPO website link? Fantastic. And then scroll down. Right, so we've cleaned up our website a little bit. So you'll see the 2050 MTP Visual Executive Summary hyperlinked there with all the appendices and the full report. And then if you keep scrolling down, you'll see amendments, and then the story map is embedded here as well. So everything's available in one place if you'd like to explore that more or share this with anyone. It's all in one place. Thank you.
Are there any questions or comments?
Thank you, Anna. We can move forward to item number 4, the non-motorized transportation plan status report.
I will be giving that update. So staff is continuing progress on the non-motorized transportation plan, which is the bicycle and pedestrian plan for the Core MPO region. Most recently, in terms of meeting about this plan, on March 7th, Core MPO staff met with the Non-Motorized Transportation Plan Steering Committee and members of TPAC and BPAC to discuss the simplified scoring method for bicycle and pedestrian projects in the plan. So during this discussion, participants highlighted safety, connectivity, funding, and quality of life as the most important evaluation criteria. And safety was the most highly mentioned among those. So based on that, we created a simplified scoring criteria, and we also added weights. So crash and safety is weighted the highest, and that's just because among the steering committee members, safety was the most important factor. And then we also have a category for connectivity, quality of life. And then we also have a separate bicycle criteria where, again, safety is weighted very high. And then we also have an additional criteria for facility protection, just because we want to make sure that the bicycle lanes that are built in the future do have some more protection than just your standard share row or non-barrier painted lane. So we did send this out for comment to the steering committee, and we got a few
Apologize, we
comments on
just
it.
hit a quorum.
Oh. It looks like we just hit a quorum.
We now have 8.
Yes, I'm here.
I will just finish the report and then we can move back up to action items. Okay, so We did receive some comments on this criteria. The only major comment that we got was that some participants believe that share rows, and a share row is essentially an unprotected bike lane where bikes share the same space as cars, should get an automatic 0 points instead of 1. And that's just because there is data to support that share rows are sometimes more dangerous than having no bike infrastructure on the
Oh, thank
streets at
God. I was
all.
about to text you.
So
You're here, right?
there we are considering maybe subtracting some points from share rows just to see how that project list looks with share rows having an automatic 0 points. Or still just having the lowest point, which is 1 point for the safety criteria. So this is it. But are there any questions or comments?
Great. Thank you, Asia.
All right, well, we can move back up to action items.
Yes. Well, first order of business for our meeting, since we are officially underway, is approval of the agenda. So you all have the agenda in front of you. I'll entertain a motion to approve now from any of our voting members.
I make a motion to approve the agenda, Terry Talbert.
I second Brenda Pollan.
Thank you both so much. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye or waving your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes and the agenda is approved. Next up on our action items is approval of the February 13th meeting minutes. And so they'll come up right now, but you also have access to them on the agendas. Whenever you all are ready, I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So move.
I
Terry.
second.
Thank you both. All in favor to approve the February 13th minutes, please indicate by saying aye or waving your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes and our last meeting minutes are approved. Next up on the action items is the participation plan.
Hello, I'll be giving that presentation. The participation plan is the core MPO's plan that directs how we conduct public participation and more specifically for some of our required documents such as our MTP, our TIP, Title VI plan, and so on. This update to the participation plan includes new language clarifying what qualifies as a minor modification to the plan versus a major modification. We added this because we realized that this might be an area of confusion because we don't have any specific language on what constitutes as a major change and a minor change. And also, if a change is a major change, that means it has to go through a different process than a minor change. We wanted to bring this to the TPAC just because TPAC is the committee that handles the participation plan as the pub as a public involvement advisory committee to see if the changes that we made and the definitions that we have for a minor modification versus a major modification sounds right or if it should be edited. This is an action item, so we will be asking for an endorsement. But before we ask for the endorsement, I'll just read out the language that we added to define what a major change is and what a minor modification is. All proposed major changes to the MPO participation process slash participation plan must be reviewed by the TPAC and their recommendations forwarded to the CORMPO board for their consideration, but only after a 45-day review period during which citizens and consultation agencies are provided with the opportunity to comment on the proposed changes. A chart at the end of this section summarizes the timing of public meetings, hearings, and review periods. Minor modifications will not require a 45-day public comment period. Participation for minor modifications is guided by TPAC and follows the Quorum PO committee review process. A major modification includes adding new public participation requirements or new sections to the document. A minor modification includes minor language changes and language corrections. So this is the added language to the participation plan, but is it more clear what constitutes as a major modification versus a minor modification? Or is this language kind of good to go? And do we want to move forward with this definition?
Yeah, to me, a minor modification is just emphasizing that the actual content isn't changing. It's just, what do you call it? The regular edits, not changing the actual content.
Yeah, whereas a major change means that some type of process with the MPO or TPAC has changed. And so I hope that comes across as clear, but if it's not clear or we need to change the wording to make it more clear, you can let me know now and we can update that and edit that.
The only thing I'm thinking of, Asia, is it says a major modification includes adding new sections to the document. I would also include taking away any major sections as well.
Okay.
So Asia, which one are you recommending as staff?
So we recommend to endorse this new language to the participation plan, which distinguishes major modifications versus minor modifications and what actions TPAC and Quorum PO needs to take for a major modification versus a minor modification.
So do we need to vote on this now? You got some other stuff you have to bring up.
So this is the change, the major change with this plan.
Okay.
You also need to add that extra thing that the Armand has also stated before we endorse it or no?
So we can do in we can add it after. So if we do choose to endorse this, we can endorse this on the condition that we add the changes that Armand talked about.
That does sound like a good idea what he's suggesting, but I just know if you have to wait to on endorsing it before you do that, I know how that works. Since it hasn't been already put in.
Mm-hmm.
So we could make a motion pending the addition of a statement that clarifies that the subtraction of any content would also qualify as a major modification.
Yes. Oh, and I do want to add that there was a change to GDOT's, the language for GDOT's TIP and STIP process, and that was also added to the plan. Let me just scroll to that. It's highlighted in the plan as well. So let me just scroll to that. Oh, I passed it.
Yeah, this is the reason that we make the up.
Oh, okay. So we also added some language for the administrative modification standards for TIP and STIP amendments. And we added that in March. And so this, we would also be including that language change update in this endorsement. But are there any questions? And if anything is unclear, you can ask a question now. We'll try to clear it up now. Yeah, I'm trying to find the TIP and STIP. It's highlighted in here. I think I just passed it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would just add something. The reason that we want to add this language is because GDOT made some minor changes to the step amendment process. So if we include that language and then include that language in the participation plan, and then we have to do 45 days, which is a minor change. So that's why we want to add the distinction between major updates and the minor updates. So for the minor updates, we can just act, so TPAC can make recommendations, and then all the advisory committees will have the opportunity to review that change and okay with it, and compute board will approve it. So we don't need to go to the 45-day public comment period. So basically, the GDOT change triggered our reevaluation of that, because our participation plan previously didn't distinguish between minor and major changes. So now we want to make that change just because of GDOT step amendment process.
Any questions for staff before we vote?
I make a motion that we approve the recommendation by staff.
I second.
We have a motion, and just to be clear, that motion does include the caveat that it would include the addition of the aforementioned language on taking away items as well as adding new items. Is that correct here?
That sounds like it should be the good idea of doing. I don't know about anybody else. That's how they think.
Yes.
Awesome. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye or waving your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes, and we do endorse.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Asia. So we're going to jump back down to our status reports. We are on item number 5, the bicycle and pedestrian facility study status report.
I will be giving that report as well. So the bicycle and pedestrian facility study is a facility study that will conduct an inventory and assessment of the bike lanes, sidewalks, and crosswalks within the core MPO planning area. And so currently we are in the proposal review phase. And we put together a proposal review committee, and along with core MPO staff, we're in the process of selecting a consultant team that will conduct that study. We want the final selection of the consultant agency to occur in mid-April after we are done evaluating the written proposals and the interviews. So far we've received 5 proposals, and that is from Coastal Engineering and Consulting, CROI, Foresight Group, Kimley Horn, and RSNH. And throughout April, the core MPO staff, along with the review committee, have reviewed the written proposals and submitted scores based on that, and then also the interviews and submitted scores based off of that. So some additional updates on that, because some things have changed in terms of how we are doing evaluations. So after we did the written evaluation and the interview evaluation, we found that for 3 of the consultant agencies, their scores were very close. So close that there wasn't even a full 1-point difference between the highest scoring agency and the lowest scoring agencies. So because of that, we also want to look at a fee proposal to see, to use that as an evaluation criteria. So that will be an additional layer of evaluation that we are doing. And we essentially want to review the fee proposals of each agency to see which one fits within the project budget. And the project budget is about $300,000. And so that is something that we are waiting on. We have sent out a request for the fee proposals to the agencies, and they will be submitting those to us by Friday. And then we will use that to do a final selection of the consultant agency that will carry out this project. We also discussed at BPAC that the review committee might meet again one more time just to compare those fee proposals according to the scope and each task within the RFP to see which one is the best one for carrying out this study. And lastly, the prime contract for this project was executed between GDOT and MPC this month as well. And this is just a status report, so no action is needed. But are there any questions or comments?
Thank you, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, item number 6, Urban Flood Model Phase 2 status report.
Hi everyone, this is Anna Broad-Merkel-McQuarrie, Court MPO staff. So this is another one of our studies, and we are in the RFP review phase right now. We did put a 30-day pause starting February on this RFP and then reopened it in March. It was closed on April 4th. We did not receive any additional proposals, so we'll just be evaluating the one proposal. And that is occurring now. So if you could scroll down just a bit for me, Asia, to the next page. Perfect. So we're on the proposal review. We're scoring the one proposal submitted and currently scheduling an interview for the week of April 28th. And this project should be starting mid-May.
Any questions? Awesome. Thank you. Item number 7, USDOT memo updates.
I think the status report is the last one, Asia. Hi, everyone. I'm going to be giving the SAS report for this one as well. So on January 29th, 2025, U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy signed the Woke Recession Memorandum and the Ensuring Reliance Upon Sound Economic Analysis and Department of Transportation Policies, Programs, and Activities Order, quote, ensuring that all USDOT policies, grants, loans, and actions are based on sound economic principles, positive cost-benefit analyses, and pro-economic growth priorities. So in this memo language, can you scroll down for me, Asia? They do mention that that there will be a priority given to communities with marriage and birth rates higher than the national average. So just to keep aware of the situation, we have not been given further guidance other than this order, but we do want to keep our members and just aware of the situation as it progresses. So we did create a marriage and birth rate map so people can understand what our situation could be potentially should this be enforced in the future. And I use data from the American Community Survey 2023 5-year data table. So we can see that the married people population by place, so I believe this is a percentage of the population in that place. We can see City of Savannah has a lower marriage rate, about 31.4%. Tybee Island is the highest here with 65.8%. So you can see the respective numbers ranging from the 30s to 50s, and then Tybee with the highest at 65. And then we also looked at the general fertility rate for females aged 15 to 44 in Georgia using the Georgia Department of Public Health Online Analytical Statistical Information, or OASIS, mapping tool. And this goes by county. So Bryan, Chatham, and Effingham are very similar, with Chatham with the lowest and Effingham with the highest birth rate there for the general fertility rate. And we can look at the maps now. All right, so we can go to that birth rate map. All right, so this is, again, birth rate ages for women ages 15 to 44. You have it for the state of Georgia. We can see the highest are essentially around military installations, Fort Stewart, Fort Benning. That deep dark purple is the highest rate. Our MPO areas towards the low middle, end here. The light purple, light lilac being the lowest birth rates. So we're probably about, you know, in the middle for Georgia. And then let's go to the marriage rate map. Right. So I have this at, by place, which is with the yellow to red spectrum there. You can see, so again, this just is a visual depiction of what we went over in the staff report. You can see that our islands areas have the highest marriage rate. And then if you're interested to look at it by census tract, so a smaller geographical boundary, in that yellow to blue map, you can see the islands and then that Port Wentworth, Effingham County area is a little bit higher, or sorry, the kind of middle of Effingham around Springfield. So, you know, this kind of corresponds if there are retirement areas, essentially higher rates of marriage. So let's go to the CDC attachment. And then just for reference, this is from the CDC health, key health indicators. This just gives an overview of the state of Georgia. So you can see the average for the state is 56 for fertility rate. Again, that's a general fertility rate, 15 to 44 years of age. So we're right about even with that in the core MPO area. Marriage here is not a percentage of place, but it's a rate. It's a little bit different, but this information just offers some intel into the, how we compare with the state. And then if we go back to the agenda, you'll be able to see the exact text from that signed DOT order if you'd like to read it. You know, again, we're not sure how exactly this is going to be enforced. However, it's something to stay aware of. Does anyone have any questions?
So was this like there? So I mean, I get the thought process behind it. And I know you've said you don't have a lot of guidance on it. But say areas like Chatham County, Bryan County, like especially Richmond Hill, you know, areas that are going to see a big influx, say, because of the car plant. Like, is that being taken into consideration? Do we know yet? Like, because we know that a lot of people are moving in right now and some of this data is dated. So are they going to be using projections as well? Or is it?
I'm not 100% sure. If you, Asia, do you mind scrolling down to the, keep scrolling down just a bit on here. So here we go. Okay, so here are some of the priority areas showing at the top of this. There, you know, if we read through the DOT orders, it will give some hint. I think there is an emphasis on economic benefit. However, we have heard a couple of times in different interviews that the Secretary of Transportation has kept mentioning the birth rates and marriage rates. With birth rates, we know where, you know, a lot of people leave where they were born. They don't live in the same area. So it doesn't necessarily, birth rates don't necessarily correspond with the growth rates. But I think a high emphasis is going to be put on economic benefit. How that will be calculated is still unknown. And how these will be enforced is still unknown at this point. We are just trying to stay aware, you know, any information that's coming in is helpful. And right now we are looking to GDOT for guidance because we are following their lead for many things.
And we don't have a timeline on when any of this will be hashed out or?
No, there's no timeline. We have as many questions as you do. And what we are going to start doing, I believe, is creating kind of like a bi-weekly, so every 2 weeks, update for our members soon on this information. So when we get it, hopefully you all can get it. You know, we're just as curious as you all are about when we're actually going to get any real updates.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
That's all I did.
This is Shannon. Don't mind if I interrupt just for a second. I know that I went to an event last Wednesday at the was the 2025 Housing Summit event at Savannah Tech, and they were projecting like a lot of influx of housing and the transportation crisis, I guess, with it, as well as the Hyundai place coming in play. And they're looking at projecting between that being pretty much kind of a major crisis problem between between 2040 and 2060 being more of a problem than it already is going to be. I guess they're projecting.
Yeah, so I know Kenise is on the line here. She can probably speak to the GDOT update around the Hyundai plant, but it is going to fall. You know, this is another reason why we're trying to have conversations with Bryan County about being involved in the core MPO jurisdiction. However, our jurisdiction surrounding the plant are going to have to take this into account, and it's going to require more coordination. Kenise, do you want to provide any updates on?
I think right now I don't have any update. I think our executive, the upper management, is coordinating with Bryan County about these issues, and we are not informed any update yet. But as soon as I have any update or anything, I would like to share with you all.
Great. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, so these are all things to consider, and that's why, with our socioeconomic projections, we just learned that GDOT will be doing our next socioeconomic data for the following Metropolitan Transportation Plan, our long-range plan update. So we will have projections and be looking at that, whether or not that's prioritized by Federal Highway Administration and the U.S. Department of Transportation is a little bit different. But we at a local level are still going to be looking at that, and at a state level, we are still looking at those growth numbers.
Any other questions for Anna? Great. Thank you, Anna. That's great information. Our final status report item, number 8, Federal Lands Access Program.
All right, last status report for you all. So we wanted to tell you about the Federal Lands Access Program, which its goal is to improve transportation facilities that provide access to or adjacent to or are located within federal lands. So the fiscal years 27 through 29 call for projects was announced in January 2025, but is currently on hold as of February 2025. If this program were to come back, we think this is a really good time for us all to be aware of any projects that our members might have near federal land. So the proposed projects or studies must be associated with public highway, road, bridge, trail, or transit system that is located on, is adjacent to, or provides access to federal lands for which the transportation facilities title or maintenance responsibility is vested with a state, county, city, township, tribal, municipal, or other local government. So there's more information on the Georgia FLAP homepage, which I linked here. And then we did create a map of different federal lands where this could apply. There is a key that they do have to be open access to the public. Our wildlife refuges are restricted access, and Fort Stewart Hunter Army Airfield and the federal land near the airport are closed. However, there might be some opportunities with Fort Stewart because I believe it can be open for hunting opportunities at certain times. I think there's like some like iSportsmen or something where you can actually go on and do some hunting. And then let's go to the map just so we can see those. So here we have a map. Again, we're looking at different United States lands owned by the federal government. So that's Bureau of Land Management, Fish and Wildlife Service, National Park Service, Forest Service, Bureau of Reclamation, doesn't typically apply to us on the East Coast, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Department of Defense. So we can see the big lands indicated over here. So if you have projects or you're interested, this is a good time to talk to the relevant jurisdiction. To start thinking about, okay, if this program comes back, what could we submit? Okay, any questions?
Thank you. Okay, moving on to agency reports. Do we have anyone present for Chatham County project status updates?
I have anything at this time.
Thank you so much. Next up, anyone from Chatham Area Transit?
Yes, Ariel is here. If anyone have any questions, hello. Good morning, everybody joining us today.
Any questions for Ariel?
And if I don't have an answer, I can definitely take it back to our leadership and get some answers for you by the end of today.
For sure. Thank you so much, Aria.
No problem. Thank you.
Anyone from EOA? All right. Anyone from Housing Authority of Savannah?
Brenda Pollen, I'm here, but I don't have any updates at this time.
Thank you so much. Life Incorporated updates?
Right now, we are still working in a partnership with the NYSIP Transportation Group. We're getting out the survey that they had put together. It has been extended, the actual survey, until sometime next week. They have not given a definite deadline date on it. Once that's done, then they'll go over the surveys and look at all the feedback that people had submitted. And then once they've looked at all of that, then they'll give us a go-ahead where LIFE is going to host educational trainings and everything based on the feedback that the group has gathered, which will probably be in the beginning of summertime sometime. We don't know yet on that part.
And where can the surveys be accessed?
We can send out the link if anybody wants it. I forget the name of the website, but we have the actual link to the survey, which we can send it out to people if you would like. I know that they said that the week of the 21st was going to be it, but they didn't give an exact day on when it was going to be done by.
You can for sure send it to me and I can see if Healthy Savannah, my organization, can distribute to appropriate people as well.
Okay. How would be the best way to get it to you?
I'll send you my email in the chat.
Could you send it to Asia and have her send it to me?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I can't access the chat all that great.
Gotcha. No problem. Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you. National Federation of the Blind, any updates? Savannah Center for the Blind and Low Vision, any updates? And lastly, Seniors Incorporated, any updates? All right. Asia, do we have anyone from the public online?
No, we're not seeing anyone online or in person from the public.
Enlisted on your agenda are the notices. Please feel free to check in on those and get back to either myself or staff with any questions you may want relayed. Our next TPAC meeting is scheduled for June 16th. That'll be at 2 p.m. That'll be a Monday to move it off of the Juneteenth holiday, which will be on that Thursday.
Okay. Among this is what I could. Do you want me to talk about the TMA certification and the UPWP? I just want to mention very quickly, we went through the federal certification review and we got the certificate. We got certified for another 4 years or 5 years. So the report is attached to the agenda. And the UPWP at the last meeting, actually TPAC endorsed the UPWP with the condition that we made some wordsmithing. We did finally get some direction from FHWA. So we did change something about the planning emphasis area. And then just requested by FHW and FTA. So we made those changes and the UPWP has been approved as well. So just want to let you know, and those are included, attachments are included with the notices.
Thank you, Wakoda. Any questions or comments on that? Awesome. Well, you all have been great. Thank you for joining us. We'll adjourn. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, everyone. Have a good day.
Y'all too.